you know, from funding, which is public funding, you know, to complement the efforts, you know, that go of governments. And that is the reason why, in the case of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you see Red Crescent being deployed for road safety, being deployed to be first on the scene of accident, to complement the efforts of government. And I think the disaster management response at the government level will also identify, you know, who are those actors to be involved, and what is the division of labor, and then what is the results and then accountability that is expected, you know, from each of them. And that provides a very solid base for each of our national society to have the basic operation to start with. But because of the humanitarian imperative, you know, that we abide to, many individuals, you know, give to the Red Cross and Red Crescent. Individuals, not necessarily the richest. You know, it is the $5 of the man of the street, you know, to, you know, the $1 million of a businessman who really liked the noble cause of the national society. It's about also business that is making profit in one area and has an interest, you know, to see the communities also be protected. And among all actors that are providing those services to the communities, they often identify either a Red Cross or Red Crescent society to benefit also from their donation. And we have people also, many, at the end of their lifetime, you know, that write their will, you know, to go to the Red Cross and Red Crescent, you know, society. This is a very powerful, you know, testimony of appreciation of what this movement is doing.
So these are donations, actually, not necessarily any sort of funding from any sort of international, like the UN or anything which would come from governments or other things, I mean, other structures.
This donation and the funding base that I described, this is the base. Now, if we are facing a major and a large scale, you know, emergency, of course, you know, those funds and then those resources may not be sufficient. And then we have other mechanisms that we call appeals. So we identify a problem, was an earthquake in China overnight, where we needed huge resources that were well beyond, you know, the capacity of the Chinese Red Cross. So we contacted, for example, the Iranian Red Crescent, and then through, you know, their manufacturing facilities, we supplied 60,000 tents, you know, to go to China. So that funding came from our international appeal, which was donated from different sources, individuals, governments. And sometimes also the UN, in deep crisis, you know, like in Syria, like in Iraq, they need, you know, to work through the Red Crescent societies to reach out to those communities in need. And they channel some of their fundings, you know, to our national societies. And internationally, as a federation, our federation is a very strong network of solidarity. When one member is hit, the different members in their respective countries also collect donations to channel through the federation to support, you know, that response, you know, at that particular country level. And it is not only money, it's also about deployment of staff, it's about deployment of equipments, you know, from sniffer dogs, you know, to big equipments, you know, to take rubbles, you know, away, you know, to put in place, you know, tents, you know, or infrastructure, you know, that to build facilities, particularly when you have a massive movement of people, such as refugees or internally displaced people. So that network of solidarity is put in motion, you know, if we have large scales, you know, of emergencies. But for the day-to-day, you know, type of work, you know, most of our national societies have the funding base, which is through the allocated role by the government and then a public service, and also the donation of money which is coming, you know, from the individuals as well as the different forms of organization, including business.
Your presence, you said, consists of a variety of health relief, humanitarian, volunteering presence, in social presence in cities even for people who are homeless or other. But there are also these very major events happening around the world today. Which are the most important for you, or the most, let's say, dangerous in the sense that they really can have influence on the rest of the world, and where you think not enough has been done?
In this time, we are not short of crises in the world. You know, they are more than we used to see. They take much longer to be resolved. They are more protracted in nature. They are getting also more and more complex. And then the parties that are involved in those kind of crises are getting also more and more complex and then difficult even to comprehend and apprehend. And if wherever you look at, in any corner of the globe, from Central African Republic, it was a major crisis. You know, a humanitarian situation that we hardly have experienced before. To Somalia, where a crisis started long time ago. I was in a refugee camp in the northern part of Kenya, which is occupied by Somali refugees, 400,000 of them. And that refugee camp is de facto becoming the third largest city of Kenya. I met their young adults, 25 years old, and they were born in that same refugee camp. To give you an idea of how protracted, you know, those crises, you know, may be.
All these happenings, all these disasters, somehow for a volunteer like yourself, who started out as a volunteer, I guess, isn't it tiring? Don't you think that somehow the more you do, you simply can't manage to fix everything?
No, first of all, we are not alone to fix it. I think we appreciate and are very proud of what the Red Cross and Red Crescent volunteers are doing. But there is no way that the whole burden can be shifted on our own shoulders. So we are one of many actors, you know, alongside governments, alongside other humanitarian actors, alongside UN agencies. I think we need also, with a certain humility, you know, understand the contributions, you know, that we are making. Of course, every crisis, you know, can be quite overwhelming, because what you see in a crisis situation is not the nicest, you know, things. You see people dying, you know, you see people mutilated, it is not a nice picture, you know, to see. Then, of course, it can be overwhelming, but at the same time, it is always, you know, for a volunteer, for a humanitarian worker, an additional reason and an additional motivation, you know, to do more. One life saved, you know, in the middle of almost an impossible situation is, you know, a great source of inspiration. And also to look at the communities affected themselves, how they're struggling, you know, to stay alive, how resilient they become, you know, to rebuild. You know, all of that also inspire us, and all of that, you know, contribute to the commitment and motivation that we like to sustain. Of course, volunteers are also only human beings, and then they need also peer support, they need group support, they need psychological support, you know, they need rest, they need recuperation. And all of that is part of the training and as part of the systems that we're putting in place, that you do not deploy, you know, volunteers over a longer period of time, but you rotate them so that they can have rest and recuperation. You also build some kind of a group support and psychological, you know, exercise for helping people to cope with and then, you know, regain the forces, you know, to be motivated for the next disaster, which unfortunately, you know, will come one point in time, one way or the other.
So let's say that the 17 million volunteers of the Red Crescent and the Red Cross also come back to the fact that it's a one-to-one situation, it's a human-to-human situation, that you actually just federate and you participate as part of a multi-organization of international and national and regional organizations. If you had one recommendation for our viewers about volunteering, about humanitarian relief and aid, what would it be? And what do you think can be the future of people who really want to participate and help in these situations?
I think my main point is that one thing that our world is suffering from most is total indifference. Many things happen and many people don't care. And I think, you know, to really move from indifference to care, you know, about the issues. And then once we start caring, we can contribute in different ways. With our small donation, it is a contribution which is as valuable as getting to the field and doing work. We're sharing information and then sensitizing others, you know, on the issues that can come along. It can start with small things, from the danger of tobacco to road safety, you know, to environmental consciousness, you know, to getting prepared and then helping others. It is, these are all forms of contribution, you know, to participate, you know, in events that are also related to the subject matter, to be curious, you know, to gain knowledge that can protect you, yourself, to start with, and then with that knowledge, you know, if someone is next to you in the same situation, that you can save the life of that person, you know, as well. And, you know, to be, and it is not something which is given to everybody, to join, you know, that wonderful body of 17 million in the world and 2 million here in the Islamic Republic, which are very, very, very special people, you know, that have the heart, the passion, the commitment, the desire, you know, to help and then to be at the service of others and to equip themselves to do so by going through training, you know, by going to exercising, by going to simulations, and also, you know, putting yourself at the service, you know, of your fellow human beings. This is a noble cause, that is a very inspiring cause, and we open it up, you know, to all who want to be part of it, and it is the most rewarding thing that I think one can do as a volunteer of the Red Cross and Red Crescent movement.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. El Hadj Amadou Sy, for joining us here on Face to Face on Press TV. I hope that this collaboration will have a future from the Red Crescent and the Red Cross Federation and the Iranian National Society Red Crescent. Thank you for joining us, and hope to see you again.
Thank you for having me.